Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the. It's a new feature.
All right,
to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
I do.
I knew you did. The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and throwing a powder into the eyes of the Blockbuster clerk so you could steal the rented movie. I've never done that for the record. I'm running out of things to say.
Yeah, dude.
Because it used to be like I would tie it into like being a kid. But no, it's like I've never done that.
You know those times you do that? Yeah. No.
We've all been there.
I was going to go with and taking your shirt off and making your pecs go back and forth. None of them would have worked.
I imagine it's also a distraction for the video clerk. I don't know.
On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulting, and joining me, as always, my two friends, who are 100 times more competent at catching criminals than the two jackasses in this movie, Sean Pryor and AJ Benz. How the heck are you?
Kumite, 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 kumite.
I thought... For reference, they were shaking their arms.
Yeah, I let him go first.
You were going to say Chong Li, yes. Right?
Chong Li, Chong Li, Chong Li. Yeah.
His wide eyes.
We got a lot to dive into because we're doing Bloodsport all one word. But first we got to clean house. You know what we do. We do review time.
Review time.
I don't know how to pronounce this name. It is X-P-O-W-S-N-X-M-N.
Thank you for your service.
Making My Drive Home Less Boring is the title of this. Who doesn't love movies from the 80s? This is one of the greatest podcasts I have come across. You guys are amazing and have helped me relive my childhood of going to Adventureland Video.
All right.
And renting all the movies you've reviewed. Keep it up. So you have to know this person.
I've got to know this person.
X-Pausen-X-Man. This is actually a job for Sean, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I could pronounce it. That's easy, man.
You're doing a pretty good
Ex-Pausen Nixman.
Yep.
Sounds like you're doing an impersonation of Sean.
I kind of. Solid. No, here's my impersonation of Sean. Ex-Pausen Nixman.
So,
if you don't know, we're talking about Sean Pryor on Instagram.
I'm flattered.
Sean Pryor 237.
You said POW in there, and Sean said,
"I know."
Thank you for your service, and I go off.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
But if this, you know what? I might know who this is, but I don't know. But either way, Adventureland Video, if you're at Mount Pleasant, Iowa chapter, you know, MP original, that's fine. That's cool. Dude, Adventureland Video, the corridors felt like a goddamn musty library full of every movie you wanted. It's great.
Hell yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you for your kind
words.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for your service and your kind words.
Yeah.
We got another one from Kirlana Wilson.
Hey, all right.
It's called The Best Around. Mike, Sean, and AJ discussed the movies that formed my youth and made me fall in love with movies. I always love a podcast that makes me feel like I could be in the room chatting along with them. They continue to make me laugh out loud with every episode. Cheers, guys. You're the best.
Around.
You're the best.
Cheers.
I actually got to meet Kirlana on Friday, right. And it was funny because I walked past her because I talk a lot, and she goes, "Are you Mike from the Confused Breakfast?" I go, "Yeah, how'd you know?" She goes, "I recognized your voice."
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was good or bad, because I was probably saying something really stupid and annoying because I was drunk with my friends at an outdoor concert.
Well, I'm terrible and I just don't introduce anybody to anybody, apparently, and I could have done that.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Kirlana was fantastic. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, man. And thanks for being a patron. We'll mention you.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Funny thing about Kirlana, she is one of our Patreon members, and I know I've had a few people say, "What's Patreon?" Patreon, my mom being one of
what
them.
What is Patreon?
It's a thing where you can go and you can support us, you guys. Little as $3 a month, you can say, "I really love, these guys put out 4 episodes a month. I'm going to give them 87 cents per episode because of how much joy it gives me."
Yeah.
You can do that. For more, for $5 a month, you can actually listen to some behind the scenes chats. There is more than 2 hours worth that if you were to sign up today, you would get access to all that. A lot of times people message, they go, "Oh man, I got to wait. I got to wait 6 more days for the next episode. No, you don't. Because on Thursday, the Patreon episode comes out.
The day after the original, the just OG saying. Episode comes out, you get to listen to one more episode.
I'm just saying. And for $10, you get a lot of extra perks, but you also get your name mentioned on every episode. Here we go. Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Joseph Kenziuk, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, and Nick Fulkerson.
Wow.
We freaking love you guys. Awesome. I mean, you're the best. You're the best of the best.
You're the best around.
You're the best of Patreon.
You guys are special.
Thank
Kirlana,
you so much.
Thank you also. You know, Kirlana's been a big supporter of previous podcast previously for I'm Super Stoked, giving us beers to drink and, taste and dive into, and keeps us going. So that's awesome.
So if you want to check out the old Patreon, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. And the last way, if you don't want to support monetarily, you can support with your voice. You got to call us. 319-804-9596. It's legit. Call it right now. I can't answer it. It goes straight to voicemail. It's got my sultry voice on there. You can say whatever you want. You can call us a bunch of
stupid
MFers.
Yeah.
Or you can be like, you guys are my favorite.
Okay.
You know, you can do that. And so I got a voicemail for you.
What does this person say?
We're going to find out. Here's a real voicemail, not from my parents. It's not, I promise.
Hey, guys, this is Mario. I'm from Stamford, Connecticut, and I love the show. A lot of great 90s feels. There's something funny that I drive by here at Stamford, and I think you guys when I do. So the old Blockbuster video in Stamford, Connecticut, you can look it up, East Main Street, 06902. It's still there. It's down the street from the WWE building, just a fun fact.
Oh, wow.
But where that Blockbuster is, it's not there anymore, obviously. But the sign, the freestanding Blockbuster sign, is still there to this day. I drive by it all the time. It's never moved. It's really cool. It's a funny thing that's still there. I don't know why. I don't have any other information about it, but that's cool. I really love the show. I think it's fun to kind of go back memory lane with all this stuff. One other thing I think might be interesting, maybe you guys feel the same. I feel like kids these days and people in general, not like us, say lines to movies. I mean, if I say bullet holes the size of matzo balls to someone my age, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if I say Billy likes to drink soda, Miss Rippy's car is green, they know exactly what I'm talking about, and we're all laughing. I don't think that happens anymore. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Mario, incredible. Man. Oh,
thanks, Mario.
Well, actually, and I think you're right, but I also think, so from TikTok, we just did the Bill and Ted stuff, and it was the Mongols Rule China, and then it was, what was the next line on Bill and Ted's that we said? It was the Circle
things.
K. Yeah. And a lot of people commented saying, I say this all the time, and I didn't know what it was from.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
wow.
So some of our pop culture stuff, it just becomes pop culture, and you don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
Because people say it so much. Like, our generation loves to say movie quotes.
Well, and in particular, Mario, like Billy Madison quotes is just a huge thing within our friend group. We say it all the time. It's in our vocabulary now. Yeah. Like, I say it on the show all the time. Like,
science, social studies.
Yeah. It's like, it just comes out, you know? But I think you're right. Yeah. That's how we communicate, like it's movie true. Buffs and everything like that. But I don't know about anybody else.
I don't know. If you have any brothers, sisters, and stuff like that, then maybe you also do this thing. When my brothers and I get together, it's all movie quotes.
Same for us, dude.
My wife is like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's me and my brother, get it too.
I don't understand it, but they'll just go off and they'll just quote each other, and they'll do an entire scene. We'll just quote each other from like Hot Shots.
Yes.
And that's it. And then like, it's like, what was that from? And then we just leave it alone though. We don't give anything to it.
No analysis.
We just say it all. And then we're done. We laugh. We're moving on.
Is it like Ocean's 13 when they're having that conversation and Matt Damon has no clue. Yeah. They're just saying, I can't even remember what he says, but it's so good.
The spider went in and had its own spaghetti dinner.
It's the same thing.
Same idea.
It's the same thing as being around somebody that's quoting a movie that you've never seen.
Right.
Makes no sense.
I hope that Blockbuster sign stays there forever too.
Yeah,
and
man.
If it doesn't, I hope you get a hold of it.
Totally.
Hell yeah, man.
That's something we've talked about, pieces or things we want to keep from this episode, I already want that sign.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we missed that on Days Confused.
I want that.
We'll do it on this one.
We'll get it.
We'll do it next time. But yeah, leave us a voicemail if you want to be like Mario. 319-804-9596. But boys, it's time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we're going to discuss one of the most well-known fighting movies of the 80s, 90s. A movie that showed us that men can indeed do the splits many times. A movie that showed us that the further along in a fighting competition you get, the more strange noises you should make while fighting. A movie that made Jean-Claude Van Damme an absolute household name. We are, of course, talking about 1988's Bloodsport. Worst song of all time. But before we get started, as always, Sean hooks us up with some pertinent, important background info about the movie to set the stage. Let's do it.
Sean Pertinent, produced by Mark Dyslalia, Yoram Globus, and Menhem Gollum. I can do that.
What the fuck? Is he just doing this as a joke here?
Who cares? Who's Mike Dyslalia?
Wasn't he a Street Fighter character?
Yeah, it might have been, actually.
We'll get there.
Music by Paul Herzog. Ugh. Music's so good in this. Cinematography by David Wirth. Fight coordinator was Frank Dukes himself. Written by Sheldon Littich. Christopher Cosby. Ugh. Not a great name. And Mel Friedman. Directed by Newt Arnold. Cast.
She
is,
turned me into a newt.
A newt?
Cast Jean-Claude Van Damme, Donald Gibb, Leah Ayres, Roman Burton, Forrest Whitaker, Roy Hsiao, Philip Chan, Sean Yin Ling, and Bolo Ying. Sheldon Littich came up with the idea for the film. According to Littich, I had known Frank Dukes for a number of months before I came up with the idea for Bloodsport. Frank told me a lot of tall tales, most of which turned out to be bullshit. But his stories about participating in his so-called Kumite event sounded like a great idea for a movie. There was one guy who he introduced me to named Richard Bender, who claimed he actually been at the Kumite event and who swore everything Frank told me was true. A few years later, this guy had a falling out with Frank and confessed to me that everything he had told me about the Kumite was a lie. Mm. Frank had coached him in what to say. Producer Mark Dyslalia said he was looking for a new martial arts star who was a ladies' man, but Van Damme appeals to both men and women.
Says who?
It's Mark Dyslalia.
Okay.
He's an American hero who fights for justice the American way and kicks the stuffing out of the bad
guys. He's not an American hero, though.
No, I don't know. He tries to be in this movie.
He's literally the muscles from Brussels, and he says he's an American fucking hero. Like, come on.
Fight to Survive and On My Own, both songs in the film performed by Stan Bush, were replaced by alternate versions sung by Paul Delph, who was nominated for a Grammy for his work on the film, actually. Van Damme helped edit the film. It's weird to think about that. Maybe he just wanted to get into the filmmaking process and, you know, get as many splits in there as possible. The film went on to earn $11.7 million against its budget of $2.3 million. Very, very great for Golden Globus. It became Cannon's highest grossing film of 1988. When the real Frank Dukes heard Van Damme had been cast, he said he wasn't nearly ripped enough and made Van Damme train for 3 months. Van Damme, who was Van Damme, said it was the hardest training he'd ever done.
I don't doubt that.
The whole story of Frank Dukes, we could get into.
Do you want to talk about that now? Or
sure, yeah.
I mean, let's get it over with. Yeah. You basically said that there's a real guy named Frank Dukes who basically bullshitted a story into making people believe it.
Yeah.
Into then turning it into a movie and bringing him on as a consultant.
Yeah.
Right.
And then crediting him with all the here's what really happened.
And a fight coordinator. Coordinated all the fight. And I think we've done another movie. I don't know if it was Three Ninjas or something else. He was also the fight coordinator on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's some funny stuff because clearly nothing, this guy, there's like no record and pretty much everything he said was completely fake. But there was somebody, you know, I like the numbers. Somebody did the math that Frank Dukes claimed to score 56 knockouts in the Kumite, in one Kumite, right? Which if that was true, if he was in a tournament to be able to do 56 knockouts in a single elimination tournament,
right.
That means there would have been 72 quadrillion fighters in the tournament. That's more than 10 million times the total human population on Earth. And no one fucking fact checked that.
This is the ultimate story of print the legend.
Yeah.
Fuck the truth.
Yes.
Print the legend. Like, we want to hear a good story. We don't want to hear the truth. Like, whatever. No. Like, even if he like did make this up, and maybe like,
who cares?
Maybe the writer was just like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of bullshit. And then afterwards finds out it is bullshit.
I believe one of the statistics at the end of the movie is fastest punch in a knockout, and it was 0.12 seconds.
Are you telling me in the 70s and 80s they had a guy holding the stopwatch to find out how fast the punch was?
Yeah.
No. I can't think of to put a burger to my mouth in that amount of time. No. I can't have that thought even.
No. 0.12 seconds. That means not a full second. 0.12 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and one more thing, I don't know if you were going to talk about this later, but it dawned on me watching the movie that this is what I wanted Mortal Kombat to be. And then I found out that Mortal Kombat was based pretty much off of Frank Dukes in this movie.
Johnny Cage is inspired by Jean-Claude Van Damme in this movie.
And that's why I started going, oh, damn, like this is kind of like Mortal Kombat, like a guy dies.
Yeah.
It is Mortal Kombat. Holy shit.
I did have a moment that I was like, Frank Dukes. And I was like, okay, I got to look this up now. And so I did look it up. And then you go to the wiki page, and then you go to frankdukes.com.
Oh.
Did you guys go to frankdukes.com?
No, I didn't.
So I went to frankdukes.com.
I'm glad someone did.
And there are definitely plenty of like video links in there. Every link you click on off of this main homepage website, 404 page not found.
Of course.
Like, just not found, not found, not found, not found. Nothing.
FrankDukesIsALiar.com.
FrankDukesIsALiar.com is what it should be.
So he's just putting these links up there. He's like, no one's going to click on it.
No, he's going to care. They're going to read my pages and my accolades here.
They look good. And we're just banking on people not clicking on them, though.
Oh, man.
Well, let's keep this train moving. So what we like to do, we like to set the stage by giving you a little insight into what we first thought about the movie the first time we saw it. AJ, do you remember the first time you saw this and what you thought?
It was either a rental, like a hard rental, and it was like my dad and us like hanging out, kind of the boys thing.
Boys weekend
kind of a thing. If it wasn't that, it was definitely TBS.
And up all night.
You know what? No, it wasn't TBS. It was TNT. Turner Network.
Yeah.
Nuclear television. TNT.
Nuclear turds.
And that's what it was. And I didn't catch it at the beginning.
No.
Weird, bro.
And you're fine, too.
I didn't know that he was in the American Army or Air Force or whatever the fuck he was in. I had no idea about that because the moment he starts speaking, he kind of tries to be American. Now, he's not necessarily American, but he is in the Army. Just going through, and I don't know why anyone's chasing him. I don't know why he's on the run. I'm not sure why he's in this fight. Nothing going on. I just remember people yelling Kumite a lot.
I've been walking around my house all week. He's going, Kumite.
People yelling Chung Li a lot. And then also thinking back, I do remember Ray Jackson a lot,
yes,
too.
Yes, of course.
And I just remember thinking he was the coolest fucking dude on the planet. And
American, man.
So whatever it happened to have been, there was definitely a lot of commercials by the end of this movie. and I remember just being enthralled with it,
of course,
as a kid. So
the rating, dude?
I think it was a hard 8.4. As a kid.
Damn, well, pretty stereotypical viewing experience for AJ, as we've learned. Sean, what about you?
We own this on VHS. I can proudly say, being in a house of my mom is a 4th-degree black belt. I think 5th, actually.
Damn.
And so we watched like Karate Kid. Like, that was a great movie for us growing up. And all of these martial arts movies that we watched, there's a dude called Bill Wallace that she had met that she really liked, and he was known to have like made Chuck Norris pee himself or something like that. So we watched all these movies when we were kids because of my mom. And this is one particularly that I was fond of just because, I don't know, just because the fighting was cool. I don't really, like, I haven't seen this since I was a kid, really.
Yeah.
So this is a great, great rewatch for me. But I had to have been, just as a kid, liking movies, probably a 6.5, somewhere around there.
Just kind of right there.
Yeah.
Nothing too special.
I like watching it. It's fun.
I was pretty similar. I definitely didn't see, I didn't remember much of this movie. I didn't see, usually, again, it was not a rental. We did not own it. It was a television thing strictly. And it was like, oh, is this Kickboxer or is this a Lionheart? What
is this Quest?
Oh, this is Bloodsport. I think this is Bloodsport.
Oh, okay.
All one word.
Bloodsport.
But for me, it was just like, whatever. If it was on, I'll watch it. I never went out of my way to watch this early on in my life. So it's just a 5. It's a very average movie. If nothing else was on, shit, yeah. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme getting chased by a couple of guys and trying to get him taken back to some sort of military thing. Yeah, this must be any of them.
Yeah, this is one of any of those. Oh, his friend got hurt and now he's going to try to avenge him. Okay, cool.
Oh, great. Okay.
He fucks the blonde. Must be a Van Damme movie.
Gotta be a Van Damme movie. Gotcha. Is this the one where he dances drunkenly? Nope, it's not. Okay, never mind.
Is this the one where he shows his ass? Yeah, that's all of them. Okay, great.
All right, so we've set the stage.
Does he do the splits?
7 times.
Okay.
Yep, this is the one.
Yes, he does the split 7 times in this one. In fact, I'm going to TikTok montage that.
Wee.
Whoa. So the stage has been set. You know how we felt about this movie early on. The only thing left is to find out what the critics and fans thought about this movie when it came out. So AJ's done some research for us. We need to know what everybody was thinking, bro. What were they thinking?
Well, guys, we always start with, you know what?
IMDb. We start with farts from Sean, apparently. Jesus.
IMDb.
I couldn't do Rotten Tomatoes in the Kumade like cadence, so Rotten Tomatoes. Say it with me, guys.
The tomato meter.
Tomato meter. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
We'll get there.
We'll figure it out.
I'm going to say 46.
Sean?
50.
40%.
This is what the critics think. Critics say 40%.
Tomato meter is 40%.
Just for reference, last week was 92. For those confused, so just a little bit of
mild
reference there.
Yep. Mild
little dip.
74% from audiences on that.
Yeah.
So,
which means IMDb is going to be right around 6.
6.8.
Nice.
It's kind of a little higher than I thought, actually.
Okay, so can we reference this really quick? IMDb, you guys are fucking up. Okay.
IMDb is not to be trusted.
Bloodsport is 6.8 and you gave fucking Dazed and Confused 7.8.
Hey, Bill and Ted's was 0.2 higher at a regular 7.
What does it take?
What does it take?
What are they grading? Are they grading like 0.1% at a time?
I don't know. Metascore was 29.
Mm.
That's critical Metascore 29.
You're AJ, not DB, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate that. TV Guide magazine gave it a 40 out of 100. Bloodsport is strictly for martial arts buffs. Little is offered here in the way of plot, dialogue, or acting. Good friend of the podcast, Dave Kerr of the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on
the
podcast.
Great friend.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast before. Gave it a 25 out of 100. The fight scenes are staged cleanly enough by Newt Arnold, a veteran assistant director to Sam Peckinpah, among others.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, big credit there.
Yeah,
really is, actually.
Okay. Well, then fine.
Sam Peckinpah is a great director.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you for the justification. I didn't know that. Making his debut at the helm. But the contest format is hopelessly repetitive and inert. The characters would seem underdeveloped in a comic book, and the restricted settings ensures that the action will never develop any real scale or velocity. The Chinese may take it on the chin in Bloodsport, but their own movies are infinitely better.
Yeah.
Yep. These are people who loved it.
Okay.
Movie that made Van Damme famous in 99. I am not a fan of Van Damme or martial arts movies, but I think this is a great movie. It's one of two Van Damme movies I rate high, an 8. It's full of great realistic fights, contests, in parentheses, unlike most where he plays some kind of Superman. Okay.
The Caesar.
No, it's a Superman.
He's just trusting the audience. Okay.
And this is another 8 out of 10. Good sports film. This was February 15th of 2021, so pretty fucking recent.
What a sports nut, huh?
Oh, ooh, sport. What, you guys aren't big sports guys? This is better than I expected, as I just saw this on Netflix and thought it was a classic Kumite film. It's one of the best MMA films I have ever watched, and I definitely recommend buying this film on DVD, Blu-ray, or through another system.
Wow.
Thank you.
thank you, Frenchie 46514. He watched that the day after Valentine's Day, so that might have some insight.
Just needed to feel something.
He had a rough Valentine's Day.
Had a rough day. That date at Chili's didn't go well.
Yeah. Hey, 8 out of 10, man. Horribly fun. Awful acting. Cheesy 80s music. Cheesy montage. Absurd plot. And so over the top, it's insane. This film has it all. God, I hate how much I like this movie.
That's the best one.
That's
so far.
Right about the one. Let's get to the negative. The airplane of martial arts movie is a quickie. Surely this is a spoof of martial arts movies.
Okay.
It's just laughably bad. That was February 22nd, 2021. He had a good Valentine's Day.
No. Okay. He thought he did.
He thought he did. All right, last one for you guys. This is a 1 out of 10 from Vith on August 8th of 2009. He said, this movie, it's pure cheese, avoid like the plague, swine flu, and ugly fat chicks.
He didn't know yet.
Rude. If you want to watch poorly choreographed fight scenes, terrible acting with even worse dialogue, and some of the dumbest slow motion scenes showing Van Damme looking like he has a mental handicap rather than suffering from temporary blindness, then this film is for you.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Perhaps I was missing something when I made the mistake of killing some time recently and watching it when it was on TV.
I'll kill some time.
Okay, just passing through the living room. But unless you have ADD or a very low IQ, I'd steer away from this movie. Unless you are going to watch it with the view of laughing your ass off at just how bad it is. For the record, I'm not some JCVD hater. If you take most of this his films for what they are, they're okay. Universal Soldier, Time Cop, were entertaining enough. I don't deny the guy makes kicking people in the face look awesome, but this is pure cheese, as stated in the summary. If you want some old school martial arts movies, stick to Bruce Lee ones, or if you must, Chuck Norris, as they do a much better job of it.
I would rather have ADD or a mental illness and fuck ugly fat chicks than have your life.
Yep. I agree.
I hate this guy so much because he really thinks, like, he's the type that probably goes back. He's probably got a reminder in his calendar to, like, be like, check your IMD rating of Bloodsport.
Yes.
And see if anybody's, if more people have given it a thumbs up. Cause I mean, I thought that was great. I really wanted to make sure people understood.
I really want people to think that I'm being helpful
to
them.
If you're thick, it could be more fun too.
Yeah.
So, and having ADD is kind of a fun thing
Fuck
too.
Yeah,
so
dude.
We all have ADD. It's fine.
That's right.
Yeah. So, sorry, what were we talking about?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay, cool.
Are we talking about a movie tonight?
It's a one word title, Bloodsport.
Do you guys want to go get in the pool?
Yeah, man.
All right, cool.
AJ's got a pool, you guys.
No, I disagree with everything the guy is saying, except for the fact that he probably caught it on TV. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But other than that, it's just like, dude, it goes right back to you're just not trying to have fun. You're trying not to have fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever in your entire fucking life said, I really want to watch a movie. I've heard about this movie. But before I watch it, I'm going to go to IMDb and I want to read people's reviews about it so that I want to read what other people thought about this movie before I watch it.
It's actually the last thing I do.
Yes. No one is. So like when they write these like
and
this,
I don't even do it. It's not my segment.
I know. Yeah. But when they write these as if like a cautionary tale, like Joe, fuck you.
Yeah. That's fuck a very you. Good
That's
point.
A really good point.
People really write this as cautionary tales.
I'm helping.
Better watch yourself. You'll never get 2 hours back. You'll never get an hour and 43 minutes back of your life.
You better go fuck yourself, stupid person.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, before we get into the movie review, we have to tell you about our amazing sponsor.
It's no secret that we love booze.
It's also no secret that we're a big proponents of supporting the local.
So it really shouldn't come as any surprise that we proudly sip on whiskey from Cedar Ridge Distillery.
If you do not believe us, then just trust the beautiful people of Iowa who made Cedar Ridge the number one selling bourbon in our home state. state this last year.
Maybe you don't even believe us. You prefer to listen to experts of the American Distilling Institute, who named Cedar Ridge as the distillery of the year in 2017.
So, I mean, if you haven't noticed yet, we generally agree on the broad picture. I mean, we're generally pretty consensus with our movie ratings, but we tend to have smaller details that we differ on with opinions. Same goes for how we drink our whiskey. We all love whiskey, but we drink them differently. I personally like to drink the quintessential American single malt. I'm talking just neat as can be in that glass. Don't put anything else in there. Pour it, let it burn when it goes down. That's how I like it.
I can't. It hurts. It hurts my chest. It's a little too much, and I want to mix it with some good sour, or maybe just a good Coke. You know what I mean?
You're whiskey sour boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I like whiskey sours all day.
I like that. That's not my preferable choice. Sean's going to disagree with all of us.
You're both wrong.
It's like a car coming in.
I gotta say, if you're 555, then I'm 666. Because the only way to drink Cedar Ridge whiskey is with a Slipknot mask on, and I'm talking about their number 9 cask that they have specifically through Slipknot. It is a very, very good whiskey.
And that is a great whiskey. I'll agree with you there. And wearing a mask when drinking whiskey is kind of weird.
It makes perfect sense to me.
So regardless of how you like to drink your whiskey, you need to grab a bottle of Cedar Ridge today. If you're in Iowa or the Midwest, chances are damn good you could actually hit up a local retailer and buy some. If you're elsewhere in the country, go to CedarRidgeWhiskey.com to order a bottle and have it shipped right to your house. Jump on the whiskey train before they are the hottest whiskey in America, because they are well on their way. You can be like, I liked Cedar Ridge before everybody else thought they were cool.
I like Confused Breakfast before it was cool, and I also drank the whiskey that they
be that person if you want to.
Yeah.
But regardless, you're going to be cool, and you're going to have a nice warm burn in that throat from drinking some delicious Cedar Ridge whiskey.
Totally.
So go check it out.
Yeah.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
AJ?
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
Well, boys, what do you say we grab a flight to Hong Kong, befriend a stereotypical American, and enter the underworld of legal gambling on the best fighters in the world?
Please.
Here we go.
Kumite.
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 Kumite. Frank Dukes, an army captain, is summoned to a meeting with his colonel before going on furlough. The colonel has found out he plans to travel to Hong Kong, and Dukes' superiors want to stop him from entering the Kumite. Dukes stages a daring escape from his base, going AWOL to travel to Hong Kong. The army dispatches 2 MPs, Helmer and Rollins, to find Dukes and bring him back. Duke first visits the home of his mentor and teacher, Senzo Tanaka, who has fallen ill. Waiting in the living room for what seems like an eternity, Duke reminisces about his long relationship with Tanaka and all of his training leading up to the present day.
Oh boy, does he reminisce.
I mean, it's you're like, you know, he's still in the living room, you guys.
Dude, oh my God. How long was he just standing there? I like to think of, like, how long would we have to stare at Frank Dukes if he wasn't flashbacking right now?
I don't, like, are we even having a conversation right now? Yeah, or are you just looking at me having a conversation to me inside your head?
Are you just staring at a sword, Frank? How long was somebody just going, Frank?
Frank.
It's not
like
he was even Frank.
He wasn't even waiting on anybody.
Frank.
Like halfway through, I thought, like, he's like, yeah, I'll go get the guy.
I know. I'll go get him.
He was waiting. No, he's like, he's just staring. He's like, where the fuck is he right now?
I know. It's like, does it really take that long? Is he going to the bathroom or something? Like,
it's like a Family Guy skit waiting to happen, dude. No, exactly.
I really love how they keep cutting back to him, though, just to make sure it's a flashback.
This is not current.
No.
We don't want you to forget that he's just staring off into space.
He's still there. Just so you know.
The whole flashback itself, since we are on the subject.
Might as well talk about it.
It's the most awkward things I've ever heard in my life. The shots are awkwardly long. like the kids are awkwardly talking to each other.
What, young Jean what the Claude. Fuck is the matter with his voice?
Fuck. I don't want you to do it.
What do you want to have here?
I don't know what you want to do with it.
I don't want to take your sword. I'm sorry.
Were they trying to basically be like, oh, this is a foreign kid? Because he would have just, they've kind of established that his parents came over
from another country.
So is that what they were trying to do?
I think they were trying to, like, have it just be like, well, Jean-Claude can't lose his accent because he just can't lose his accent, you know. And so I think they're just like compensating for that, and they had just a normal American dude, non-actor,
completely
non-actor, and they just dubbed his voice with
I want to say like a
10-year-old Chinese boy.
It makes no sense.
I don't know.
I feel like this is one of the problems. Like, if you can't, when you can't properly show someone what's happening, you just say it. So it's like, look, guys, I know. Look, we're immigrants. You're immigrants. You know what I mean? You guys came over. We came over. You like to make wine, it sounds like. I like to make Karate Kids. Okay? So.
That was essentially what happened. That's
basically what happened. Let's make a deal here. I'll trade you some wine for Karate Kid. All right. Sounds good.
Did you also notice at the very beginning, young Frank has a New York Giants Mets shirt on and a San Francisco Giants hat on.
Good.
What was that? Doesn't happen. You don't like, were they just like, oh, just get, go out and find the same team, somebody that doesn't know sports, intern, go out and get same team hat and jersey, and they go, oh, Giants, cool.
Giants, yeah, works out.
That's unbelievable.
It's got to be the same thing.
It has to be.
One of my favorite things, like, there's so many things I want to pick apart about that, like the flashback and just like what it is. But the one thing I have to bring attention to is when Tanaka's kid is getting beat up and then Jean-Claude's kid version of himself goes up and defends him, and like all the cutaways and bullshit that happens. And then he's like, all right, now I'll help you up. And then he just, the Tanaka's kid just looks at him. He's like, one day I'll go to the Kumite and fight for my father's honor. All right, sounds good. Pick up your books and see you later.
Okay, man.
It's like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck is a Kumite?
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Yeah, me too.
All right, sounds
good. You're
going
to die. You're going to die from a heroin overdose, so I'll do that instead for you, okay? Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Tanaka's son.
Cool.
How did Tanaka's son even die?
Can we not even talk about that?
Can we not even just say,
they didn't tell us, so we can't even know. They had to force it down our throats in order for us to understand.
We just get to see candles lit and everything like that. And you're just, I think he went to the Kumite.
Ooh. Whoa.
Mike,
whoa.
You got something to say?
Dude, they talked about how Chong Li killed someone in the last tournament.
Right.
Oh.
What if he killed him?
Oh. Has it been that long?
It was like in the beginning of Mortal Kombat. What's his name?
Oh, Liu Kang's brother.
He got in over his head, man. And the little boy went to the Kumite to fight, and he did break those bricks, so
he did the Tanaka Dimmock, so okay, whatever.
Maybe you're right. Like, so Mortal Kombat totally did steal this from, because it's a generational thing.
Yeah. The exact same thing.
Okay, get it? So maybe it's like every 7 years. It's like dog years for the Kumite.
I think.
And so it's like, all right, every seven
it's
years.
Not every
well,
100 years.
Yeah. It's not every 50, 33 years or whatever centuries. The fuck they call a lifetime or whatever in fucking Mortal Kombat land. So yeah, that's crazy. Like, my thought was he did die in the Kumite. But I didn't put it together that it was Chong Li.
And you think if that was a real thing, they would have played up on that quite a bit. But no, they're just like, whatever, let's get these kids out of this movie quick. We got to get back to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And in my head,
didn't get back to them quick.
In my head, which is kind of making me chuckle a little bit, is that he went as a little boy. Like,
the next day he got on a flight from the playground.
I really want to see Chong Li just pound this kid into the ground.
Oh. It's like one day I'll go to the Kumite and fight.
Tomorrow.
Well, later that day, you jumped on a plane.
I want to see Chong Li Goro head down this kid into the ground.
I think Mortal Kombat took a lot from it. Like, even the design of Goro in Mortal Kombat, Chong Li looks like rubber. We'll get to it.
He does.
I don't want to speak about the intro of this movie, because I actually have never seen it until today or until whenever I watched this movie. But I had a thought that, looking at this movie from a modern eye and how movies are made today, this is a really, really boring start to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a really long time for this to get going. And back then you were fully committed to watching this. You've rented it. There's nothing else on the 10 channels on television. So you stick with it. But if this had come out now, if this was a Netflix original, people would immediately turn that shit off. Yeah. In about 10 minutes in, they go, I'm out of this. Yeah. I'm not sticking around for this movie.
Well, I think one of the biggest redeeming factors for me was, like, one, there was, like, that music that was happening. But at the same time, like, I like that this... that this, like, place that this happened doesn't just exist in the depths of Hong Kong. You know what I mean? Like, the wilds of Hong Kong. It's like, no, I like how it shows, like, people setting this up like some sort of high school show choir event that's going to be taking place. It's just like, no, yeah, we'll be
good. No, move that a little to the right. Yeah.
Well, are the lights working on the light-up board? We better make sure they're sweep it off.
There is that final shot of the guy hitting the last broom and going, I did good. All
right. Kim Sung, the fruit punch goes to the left, okay?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You can't put the coffee next to the lemonade, damn it. Well, get the bleachers in there.
It's still better than Speed because it at least sets up something that's going to happen later. It's not just the worst graphics in the world.
And the music's bad fucking ass.
Yeah. The music's pretty good in this. Yeah. So we can't gloss over this, though. Did basically Jean-Claude directly disobeyed an order from the military?
Correct.
I mean, he should be going to, like, military jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they must just be deathly afraid of him because they don't really say what he does. But the original Frank Dukes, they said he was like an undercover operative for the CIA. So they're just like, whatever you want to do.
When the guy went to go get him, he's like, well, I got a shower. He's like, I have to watch you shower. He's like, okay. It's like he paused for a second. He's like, cool.
That's all right. Both women and men are into me.
That's right.
That's basically what
it is. Wait till later.
That's
why I was put cast. My underwear on.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. But yeah, no, I don't know why they even want him back. Is it because he disobeyed the order?
I think he's just a badass.
He's an asset.
Yeah, he's an asset and they need him.
Emphasis on the ass.
I mean, you don't get to just sit there and train spin kicks on a speed bag, you know, in your free time. In the military for no reason, you know what I mean? But at the same time, he goes in, he's like, the commander wants to speak to you. What did he say it was about? By the way, commander wouldn't tell messenger boy what it's about at all. That's not the chain of command. No. You don't need to know. All you need to know is that I need you to bring him here, goddammit. Then he's like, well, found out you're trying to go to Hong Kong. He doesn't like that much. And it's like, okay, I guess then I'll be there. I have to shower, though, first. I'm so sweaty.
I love that last intimidation kick he gives the bag.
Yeah.
That would freak me the fuck out if I saw somebody do that.
I'd flinch.
Yeah. And even just seeing Canon Films at the beginning of this movie, like their emblem, you just know it's going to be a good movie.
You just know right away,
this
right?
is the people who brought us over the top people.
Okay,
you know?
I'm just saying.
Let's just, I mean, it's they're amazing at movies.
So that's where they got the music from.
That's right.
Over the Top was 87, so they were riding high off of Over the Top for this 1988 thriller.
They got Stallone, now they got Van Damme.
Shit.
Riding that train.
Did Stallone and Van Damme ever appear in a movie together?
I think they did like the Unbreakables, the whatever.
Expendables.
Oh, okay. I think he was like a cameo in one, but.
Yeah. Well, and before we move on to scene two, there was that long drawn out him learning how to be better at karate scene.
Yeah.
And I always hated the stretch torture thing.
The stretch torture, yes.
And first of all, like, what is that even doing?
Nothing.
Separate your mind from the body.
Is that what it is? It's a mental thing because it's not a physical thing.
I think the grandpa has some weird kinks that the old lady just cannot fulfill.
The grandpa.
That's very true.
And I don't know why. Tanaka. I don't know why one of them is serving tea blind and what the fuck that does to help martial arts. Like, how many times did he have to do that in order to get good at it? Is what I want to know. How many like ancient tea sets did they have to go through?
Do they just have like a lot on hand? Yeah. You know, like, they just have a lot in their cupboards and stuff. I don't know.
And that concludes, like, I don't know, maybe 15 to 25 minutes of flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's still in the living room.
Yeah. He was still in the living room at that point.
What the fuck ever.
Can I give you guys a fan theory?
Yes. Fan theory, please.
Right. So fan theory. Shidoshi Tanaka is actually brothers with Mori Tanaka from Three Ninjas.
I love it. I love it.
And And Snyder may have caused some sort of demise to Shidoshi Tanaka.
Mm. Oh.
And now Bad News Bears. Now he's working his way down to the other brother. Must be the older brother, Mori Tanaka, who's now, but apparently they both got a thing for training white kids.
Oh, they know? Do. Yeah. They do.
They're trying to pass down the lineage. You know what I mean? So I think there's some bloodline
okay,
there.
I like that.
If only those three kids could have died in the Kumite.
No.
We would have never had to watch that again.
We would have never had Hulk Hogan being in one of those two.
Fucking
hate. Still hating on Three Ninjas to this day.
Shogun Mountain or Shotgun Mountain, whatever the fuck it was.
Mega called. Mountain.
Mega
bro.
Mountain.
We lovingly Jeez. Hate it.
All right, so let's move along. After arriving in Hong Kong, Dukes befriends American fighter Ray Jackson and their guide Victor Lin. Dukes is introduced to American reporter Janice Kent when he saves her from another fighter. She agrees to have dinner with him later that night. When they arrive at the Kumite Arena, the officials are skeptical, but eventually accept them after Dukes proves his connection to the Tanaka clan by performing the Death Touch.
Death Touch.
One of the first Tanaka. Things that Ray Jackson says to, I think is a woman on the bus, is,
yeah,
when,
oh God,
is when he's
yeah.
next to me. He's like, hey, babe, want to go out with a big man? It's like, has that line ever worked for yeah. anybody? Like, he's loving. It's the first line he says. I'm just like, what are you doing? What is this?
What
and
is,
then
what
and then he gets
happening?
More lovable as the movie goes on. But I'm just like, I don't like you right now.
He yeah. is so stereotypical you're being American.
That, you're being that asshole. You know.
Yeah.
He's so stereotypical, but it fits nicely in this movie because he basically, he tells the jokes, he's having fun, he's drinking beer, playing video games, clearly doesn't train to be a fighter, right. wears sweatpants no. on stage.
Yeah.
But like,
on stage,
sorry. It was kind of a stage.
During the contest.
During the contest.
Is the world but a stage?
It is. We're here for mere enjoyment.
Yes.
But he, you're right. Like at first you're like, man, fuck this guy.
You absolutely are. And you're like, wow, you're being the stereotypical American. And of course, JCVD is just over there on the sidelines being like, I'm not the typical American. I'm the cool guy.
Yeah.
You know? So, but it's whatever. I don't know him. He's not going to the Kumite. Whatever.
Yeah. Now,
but, yeah.
What is the game that I kick your ass at?
Yeah.
AJ?
It's called karate.
Okay.
So. So this game is actually, you can, I found this
you
game.
You found this real game?
I found this game. It's for free in a barcade in Cedar Rapids, which we live by in, called Quarter Barrel. And I would go, and I found this game, and it's free because the game is so short.
Yes, correct.
If you pump quarters into this game, you're going to lose like $20 at least.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, I'm like, oh, Sean, come play this game with me. It's so much fun. And you're
okay,
like,
I'll figure it
okay.
out.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm trying to do all the cool, fancy moves. And Sean's just going, whoopah, 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 just punching. And he got me.
Turns out it worked.
He beat me every time. And I was so upset about it.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because I had a trainer.
Okay.
String me up by my hands and my feet and torch me, whip me.
Wrists and ankles.
And then try and kill me as I was done with my 3 months of training. Okay. And that's why I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme and you're Ray Jackson.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, boy.
Sense. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude.
Thank you very much.
Please tell me, Sean, that you've never thought about that until this moment in time.
I've never thought.
Yes.
That was straight off the dome.
Hey, Jean-Claude Van Damme and AJ Jackson.
Oh!
Yeah. And Mike Lee.
Mike Lin.
Mike Lee.
Mike Lee.
Chong Schultz Lee.
Chong Schultz.
Shit.
Guys. I think
Victor Lin. I think you could be Michael Lin. I think you could be Mike
nah,
Lin.
No, your names are way cooler than
all right. Yeah, you're right.
God.
Well, I do say I love you at the end of this movie. So.
That's true.
Fight for your. I'm the man who will fight for your honor, dude.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Same thing. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Can you guys tell me what my favorite quote of the movie is? It's in this scene.
Can I tell you?
Can you tell me? No, because I know what it is. I'm just wondering how well you know me.
I don't think so.
It's in the scene I've just described. It's my favorite quote of the movie.
The scene you just described.
Of this scene, too. You know, I said that he goes to Hong Kong and
okay.
he performs the Death Touch. Can you tell me what it is?
I can't.
I know our audience is probably screaming it out.
I thought, I was going to say.
Kumite?
Nope.
Frank Dukes, like put up your dukes?
No.
Okay.
But it's in that same, it's getting there. It's when the guy goes, Okay, USA. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you can imitate that voice very well.
Okay, USA.
Okay, USA.
Okay, USA.
It's the best. Because you're like, oh, shit, this guy's not going to let him in there.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah. Okay, he's ready to go.
By the way, longest goddamn corridor.
I was just going to say.
Did you do any research about this?
Well,
I watched a documentary last night about this.
No, I was just like, I bet when they went down that tunnel, they were looking for like this production design we don't have to pay for. They're like, look at all this stuff they don't have to pay for. We don't like, it's just a corridor that they found. And like, yeah, that's, it's shitty looking. Let's just shoot here. And then people living in those little huts are just like, what the fuck, man? This is my fucking house, my asshole.
Dude, so those were filmed in Kowloon Walled City in Hong Kong. And have you ever heard about that before?
Yes.
It's unreal. I mean, it was the most densely populated place on Earth. 50,000 people in 6 acres of building, going up 14 stories tall. And that Bloodsport was one of the only films that has ever been allowed to film there. Cause it was claimed by Britain and China, but governed by neither. Mm. Like no one wanted to take responsibility for that. So this city sort of became its own country that did its own stuff, right? It had negative aspects. It had crime, prostitution, gambling, mafia type stuff. But yet it also had businesses. Like people would turn their house into a restaurant,
right,
or into a AC repairman, mm-hmm, job. And it was like, they demolished it in 1993, but they had to fight for years to get people out of there because people wanted to be there.
Mm.
They even like look fondly back on it saying, man, that was actually the best place I ever lived because it was a community kind of a thing. But but it perfectly sets the stage in this movie for creep city-ness. I mean, like, that's a scary, you leave the light into the shadows to
I'm pretty sure they shot the same corridor scene for fucking Beer Fest in this place.
They very well could have.
Are you kidding me? Like all these, like all the crazy things going through there. And like, it's like as long as the intro or as long as their flashbacks in this movie, apparently.
Yeah.
Walking down this damn corridor, man. It's insane.
The underworld. They wanted to show that underworld feeling, you know?
Well, I actually love Lynn's description of it. Like, he kind of described it just like you did. He's like, right in the heart of this tourist city is this seedy underworld. The moment you leave the light, you go into the dark, you're in a different place. Mm. Make sure you remember that.
Absolute truth.
And that's what he said.
It was real life.
It's really interesting.
It's it just goes to their canon's brilliance, too. Yoram and Globus, Golan and Globus, they're, you know, stingency when it comes to their budget, because I'm sure it didn't take much to film there whatsoever.
No,
if anything, you know, I'm sure most of the budget went to Jean-Claude Van Damme. And, did I misspeak?
No, you were good.
Yep. But yeah, no, it's just, that's their, what they do, you know, like let's pick a cheapest location because locations are expensive.
Oh yeah.
And we'll just shoot there and try and get away with it.
That's fucking badass.
By the way, when they finally do reach the entrance to the Kumite, those bouncers have been standing there since the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Since the
beginning of time. They walked out, like, there's this like little scene in the beginning, like in the opening montage where they step outside of that and they stand on the corridor.
It's
like
the official. We take our post.
Like, here we go. And I'm like, you've been standing there the whole time. Jean-Claude had to do his flashback, bro. That's a long ass time.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That's real rough, man. It's real fucking rough.
I always thought that he said, so he gets there and they say, you must do the Dimmock. He goes, what's Dimmock? He goes, deaf touch. I thought he said deaf touch. Deaf touch. Deaf, I mean, touch. I'm not trying to be like
a person at that.
I'm just saying that's what I always thought he said, deaf touch.
Yeah, it'd be a sick Deftones cover band.
Deaf touch.
Yeah,
deaf touch, dude.
But he says death touch, of course. And actually, you remember Steve Aoki?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like worldwide DJ, right? But before that, he owned a record label called Dimmock Records.
Oh, really?
And two of my favorite bands from back in the day, indie bands, Block Party and Pretty Girls Make Graves, were on that record label. So I was always like, I want to be on Dimmock Records.
Dimmock.
And then I watched this movie. I'm like, hey, they took that from Steve Aoki. It's like, no, the,
no, bro, idiot.
1988 was before 1998. You stupid,
you stupid silly man.
It's really convenient how they just have a stack of bricks right there.
I know. Yeah,
just laying there ready for anybody to do the Dimmick.
And why does he wait for him to come within centimeters of striking the brick? Bottom brick.
Yeah, that guy is definitely Master Tetsu from fucking Turtles.
Oh no, he might be.
It's
dude.
Gotta be him. Like, it's him. I didn't look it up or anything.
No,
I'm just
it is.
Like, okay, good. Thank you.
We're gonna go ahead and call it.
Perfect. And then he makes the call out, and top brick would have been probably just as tough to not break a brick below it.
Correct. Yes.
You know, but I guess bottom brick. And he blows that thing out, and he does his Jean-Claude eyes for the first time.
The faces are just incredible. I don't know how he does it.
Nope. You have to. I don't care what you think about him, but some of the stuff he does is pretty amazing.
How is he so flexible that even his face can do the splits? I don't even...
The man is doing magic tricks the whole movie.
Yes.
Okay? He's breaking bricks you shouldn't be able to break. He's doing splits you shouldn't be able to split. And then he's doing coin tricks later on. I mean, come on.
He's pulling some tail.
He's pulling tail that, you know, he's I don't know how he got that, but he did it, you know.
He's the main character.
You're right.
He gets to do what he wants. Like Frank Dukes gets to make up whatever he wants. Real life Frank Dukes, so whatever.
You're right.
Greatest life.
So moving along, on the first day of the tournament, many fights happen. Jackson and Dukes are both victorious, but they earn the hatred of Ruthless Kumite champion Chong Lee after Dukes breaks his record for the fastest knockout. Helmer and Rollins are still trying to find Dukes and eventually run into him at the hotel. They try to detain him, but Dukes escapes. Dukes takes Janet to dinner, and they share a sensual, amazing, romantic night of passion. Yeah. At least what I like to think it is.
Before that, he gambles her off and...
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He was confident in his abilities at this weird quarter trick.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite moments from the
when
first...
When does that even ever work, though, too? Like, Ray Jackson like hits on a girl like that, but then Jean-Claude Van Damme does a fucking magic trick.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to do a magic trick for a girl?
No. Yeah. I'm not magic. Mike?
Magic. Yes,
Mike.
You are, bro. Mike. Magic Mike.
One of my favorite Chong Lee moments of the movie is during the first day of fighting when Jackson wins his first competition. Yes. And he points over and he goes, "You, I want you." And like Chong Lee's like, "Excuse me, what?" Like, he has this weird look at his face where he goes, "Okay."
He's like, what? What the fuck did I do? What the hell did I do to you? Like, I don't remember doing anything.
Well, what he says,
I'm gonna kill you, man.
I want you, man.
Jeez, I just got here. I didn't even see your fight.
He's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's so good.
Right, who is this guy?
He makes a lot of great facial things in the movie, that was one of my favorites. Hey, when does he say, "I ain't your pal, dick face"? Is that a Ray Jackson line? I ain't your pal, dick face. I wrote that down. I don't remember what it was from. I just think it's a great line.
I know what it was from. That was from when Forrest Whitaker comes on up and he's like, "Hey, pal, keep your nose out of it." And he's like, "I ain't your pal, dick face."
Ray Jackson,
baby.
Comedic timing, baby.
By the way, Forrest Whitaker in this, very young Forrest Whitaker, but I don't think he aged anymore past this role. So
he was like 30 in that role, and he's still 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That was definitely, I looked it up. It wasn't his first role, but it was definitely one of his very first roles.
Yeah. Sure.
He was very new on that.
I noticed like during the fights that Chung Lee and Ray Jackson actually fought small people. Like people way smaller than them. And I'm pretty sure there's like a weight class that you need to abide by.
There was in the original Frank Dukes story.
Yeah. And so where is that?
Well,
like, these people are just like, and do you get rid of the, like, do you lose once or do you have
to
die?
It's single elimination. Okay. You're out.
Sean, if you're going to be considered the best fighter in the world, you got to be able to fight big and small. Okay.
Okay.
And as we saw, this big wasn't always the advantage.
Very true.
You had the guy that apparently did not stand upright and cracked coconuts. Like, he cracked coconuts in the beginning of the movie in preparation for training.
Yep.
That was a little weird.
Yep.
I felt like it was almost a Street Fighter 2, like the, every character from Street Fighter 2 was
so,
represented.
So you're going to be really upset with me now that I'm about to tell you this, because I didn't think we would get this part. But I wanted to make it a point. You can kind of tell who was going to move on based on who they looked like in Street Fighter.
okay.
Guys who were in like a full gi or like they just had the like some shiny pants on.
Yes.
They really weren't going to do much as much. But you had the guy who was the kickboxer. So you had Sagat.
Yeah.
There was a Fei Long guy who went on, who's Street Fighter II Turbo. You had
E Honda. You did.
He moved on.
I like to think that the guy with the coconuts was Blanca.
Because
who I like to think it was.
Yeah, absolutely. You had Ray Jackson was kind of getting into your like Americanized stuff. We didn't really have a Balrog or anything. But you know,
so you did feel that way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It was very Street Fighter.
Oh, 100%. It was very Street Fighter.
Ooh, we should cast Jean-Claude Van Damme in the movie version of Street Fighter.
Oh, you think that'd be a good idea?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, and it'll probably be one of the greatest adaptations of video games ever.
I bet that'd be amazing.
That's my goal.
Oh, and that singer girl that sang that one song, she could be a character in the movie
too.
Pretty
sure she could.
Yeah.
There's no way this could go wrong.
No.
Oh, my cool. God. Okay, so
well, that's what we'll do.
Should we just green light it?
Yeah.
Maybe we should, when we do Street Fighter, take this audio and put it in that episode.
Okay.
And just get our reactions of how sad that is.
Okay. Sounds good. I love it.
I just love it, you guys. The reason I want to bring this up is because somebody finally did what I wanted, what I never knew I wanted in the Frank Dukes escaping from Helmer and Rollins scene.
So funny.
Like, it's so funny and it's so dumb and it's so just so 80s, but I always wondered why. I was like, what does this remind me of? And guess what? About a week or two ago, I saw it. Somebody took the Mentos music and put it to that montage. Hell, and it's it is literally a Mentos commercial.
It is.
In fact, Mentos may have watched this and said, oh my God.
Jesus, you know what? That's an idea.
What if we did just the most dumbest thing ever known to man?
To the tune of Full House. Let's just make a song and get that video in there.
That stuff is the stuff that just makes me go, oh my God. When Mentos. You rewatch, you're trying to be critical. You just go, what?
What?
Who
fuck?
Green? Was this Jean-Claude? Did he say, oh, you know, it'd be really funny is if I ran through the streets and.
Mentos just truly makes everything better, you know?
If you're listening to this, just type in like Mentos blood sport montage or something like that. It is perfection.
It is
perfection.
He's like dipping out. He's got that obnoxious gold jacket on and his high waisted pleated khakis and everything. Like, that's the worst. It's like the wardrobe. Where were you at?
Where were you at, Matt? Yeah,
and so when he finally gets his into the kumite though.
Kumite.
When he goes kumite, into the kumite. Kumite. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme just loses clothes as the competition goes on. I think that's kind of the idea and everything. It really is the movie goes on.
Well, and even when he first gets there and they tell him to like break the bricks and do the kibosh.
Dimmock. What the hell is a dimmock?
They tell him to do that. He takes off a shirt and he already has a leotard on underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's just always ready and always ready to go.
Might as well have just taken off his pants as well, just so he could just have his banana hammock going.
Why not?
Like and for him to just casually be slipping that fucking jockey on. No way. Come on. What the? She wakes up, glistening in the sun. I'm looking over. Good. Glad I got a glimpse of that. That guy has way too much booty.
Well, he was like standing on his tippy toes purposely because, you know, like I think that's why girls wear high heels
because
it kind of
accentuates. Pushes.
And he was doing that. He was like, I'm standing on my tippy toes. Yeah.
She's like, I'd really like to get to know you. And he probably stared at her for like 15 minutes, like telling her his life story, but in a flashback form.
So she didn't get any of the story.
She came in late. He said, go back to the beginning of the film.
She ate as he stared off into the distance at something.
I'd like to get to know you, I guess.
So it's like, okay, well, where do I begin? So you want to go home with me?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it.
The Jean-Claude Van Hams.
Oh,
shit.
Shake that.
All right.
Sean Claude Ham Dam. We're just going to keep changing this. Sean Claude Ham Dam.
Sean Claude Van Dam, dang it. Damn, dang it.
Yeah. Until it becomes your new Instagram handle, man. That's what I'm fucking there. Waiting for.
Sean Claude Ham Dam, dang it. And that'll be perfect.
Well, when he does finally get to it, you know, as great as the music was in this movie, when they like walk in and like people like they're doing like the drumming, and it's like it's not like Mortal Kombat when it's like the big huge like ton drum things. Yeah. It's like there's just
fire
like
everywhere.
It's just like it sounds like it's just like traditional Chinese drumming on a computer desk, yeah, or something. It's nice. Like it's just it's like that's hey,
we're not
is.
Here for the music. We're here, yeah, for the fighting. Okay?
It's just you literally just hear like somebody like. Like on a computer, like a desk of some sort. You're just like, who is that?
It
like,
was the guards from the front door.
That's all you get. And it's just like, well, that was a letdown.
Humanize the goons. All those guards wanted to do is just be musicians. And it's like, we'll let them have this drum. And as they walk in, we'll let them do a beat.
Just rather underwhelming. Thank you for that. And we're going to move on.
And we're
going to
move on. Here we go. Shall we move along? and then obviously we're getting into these fights. We're seeing Chong Li's massive pecs.
Dude, he looks rubber. He looks like fake. But oh my God, like what a specimen of a just muscle mass.
I don't think he's the scariest guy in a Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting movie. I think that's maybe the kickboxer guy.
Tong Po. Or,
oh yeah. Like that guy's terrifying. But Chong Li is right there. Like that dude has some screws loose, you know, and you just really do. If I were up, if I had won a couple fights and he was next, I'd just go, I'm just going to jump off the side. Nah, and then that's it. We did good. We did good.
I'll tell you about how I think I would have won the fight in a flashback. Let me do this. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
I think I win.
Got it. Okay.
I'll take off now though.
So good.
It's the crazy eyes, man. Those eyes. Oh, man. It's too much.
As they do Chong Li, he's like really stoked about it. And he's doing the arms or whatever. His eyes and his smile. I remember that me flashing back to the first time I watched the movie. I'm just like, yeah, he did really fucking scare me.
He's pretty fucking.
He's intense.
Terrifying, dude. Terrifying. And he had perfect control over his pecs.
Yeah. I don't know how you like. I haven't seen that since
it was going. It was going Chong Li, Chong Li. Like his pecs were going up and down in perfect rhythm.
Fucking Lex Luger. He's got nothing on this dude.
Nope.
You know. So, yeah.
Just saying.
It's funny, you know, other celebrity cameos, apparently the first fight for Ray Jackson, I didn't know Emil Hirsch actually had an early cameo in this movie, but that was him. Go back and look. He's spandex and all. It was Emil Hirsch.
Totally lost all of his martial arts training as he grew up.
As he moved into Lords of Dogtown, he moved to skateboarding.
Of course.
Karate, Very versatile.
Yeah.
Method.
It's pretty badass.
Okay, so scene 4, day 2 of the tournament is the following day. Janice has found a way to sneak in with another man since Dukes would not break the rules to let her in. Dukes remains unbeaten, but the day is rounded off by Ray Jackson being severely beaten and hospitalized by Chong Li. Janice begs Dukes to quit, but Dukes knows he must continue. Riding a bus back to his hotel, Dukes is haunted by memories of the bout and mistakenly thinks he sees Chong Li's reflection in the bus window glaring at him. He knows he must press on and get revenge. So, being an adult, Janice said she's going to go undercover. And she like winks when she says undercover. Does that mean she just went out and just found a dude and then immediately slept with him?
Yes.
As an adult, that's the way I took it this time around, that was sort of the underlying subtle conversation there, was that to find her way in, she was going to go undercover.
Well, in quotations. You know where that came from. That
where?
Came from getting under the covers with your target.
Undercover.
Under the covers, sex.
sex.
Guys.
An FBI agent, AJ Venz, you know this for a fact.
I'm a PI, but it's yes.
Ah, that makes sense.
Am I just looking too deep into that?
No, I think she was just like kind of winking and hinting towards the fact that she's pretty and like, yeah, this guy probably wants to fuck me, but I'm not going to let it happen, but I'm going to use it anyway.
Okay. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got out of it, but it could be.
Because she got real dolled up real fast. I don't think there was enough time for to meet the man and then sexually intercourse.
Her hair definitely looked like she like was hanging out the window the entire time that she was on her way to
only
the
Kumite. One side, you know.
Once all blown over to the one side.
I liked it.
She was on the tram for sure, just like hanging her head out the window.
Something stank in there or something. Yeah. She just needed some air.
Totes.
Did you notice though how the second day of fighting, Jean-Claude had a little bit of an extra jump in his fighting stance?
Oh, 100%.
He had these weird little, like he was hiking up his legs a little bit when he would do it. And I have a theory on that because I think it's because Janice was there and he was trying to impress her. I will always go on record that if there's a girl that I like, I was dating in high school, maybe during a soccer match or in college, maybe at a musical thing. You always throw in a little bit extra.
Oh, yeah.
You try to overemphasize your moves. You go dick first on the way in.
Yeah.
So I think that was his weird little. He's like, these do nothing for my technique, but I'm just going to do these weird stepping things.
Gotta keep you loose and limber.
He never does that other than those fights in the second day.
He looks like he's working cramps out of his legs.
At first, he had like a leotard on. He's like, wait, Jackson, I got to go change. And he comes back with no shirt and just the pants.
Yeah.
Like, is it because of the girl? It's because of the girl.
Yeah. I'm going to go beat Chung Li.
You dog, you.
Ow. He had his first quick kill or whatever in the first round, right? And then the next one, like, what did he like knocked him out of the ring or some shit?
Yeah.
That's when he did his all spinning kicks. So, but his style keeps... What?
That's when he did all the spinny kicks. So. He did a bunch of spinny kicks.
Yeah, that's what
There's
he did.
A lot of fighting in this movie. Just gloss over a little bit.
Yes.
I'm just saying, we got to move fast and quick, guys. I'm a long talker, okay? So what I'm saying is that this is one of the cool things of like the continuity, I guess, you know me, is they show like his style kind of changes throughout, and he made a reference to that in the beginning. You know, he said a reference to it, not made a reference, because they could only explain things, you know, very directly because they didn't have a lot of time. They had to make time for flashbacks. So so he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you said that like I can like mimic people's styles and stuff like that. And I can be really adaptive. And so that's like what's happening. And you kind of notice as his other fights go on, he's kind of mimicking the guys that he's fighting.
Okay.
So I just thought it was kind of a cool point. Like when he gets to the kickboxer guy, he goes into kickboxer mode.
Okay.
You
okay.
know? So it's just, I don't know. It's just a little.
No, I, cool that's, tidbit. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to, you know, Ray, if I've ever seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, you know, Ray Jackson's going down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no like, well, maybe he'll win. No, never. No. And he could have, but he was being a dumbass showboat. He could have finished him. He came out swinging. Got him. Chong Li's down.
Cocky ass motherfucker.
Cocky ass.
Damn it, dude.
It's your fault, Ray.
Yeah. It was his fault.
Somehow Chong Li makes gripping a headband and and just like whipping it through the air, and it makes it look like he hurt it.
Yes.
It makes it look like an inanimate object got hurt by Chung Li.
You felt bad for that headband.
Yeah. Like the headband had feelings, and like, ooh, sorry, headband, you know?
Oh, damn, dude.
That's how strong and intimidating this man is.
Blame your owner, headband, because this is his fault.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, it was his fault. Like,
and blame Harley Davidson.
Yes, yes, so yes, tacky. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh.
And how? The
and how
and,
hey man
sorry
I don't know what I was gonna say. Hey, don't say that.
Okay. Okay, you were saying.
Okay.
You set it up, man. You set it up.
Okay,
you were saying.
I can't can't even remember what I was
it's
to say.
It's getting late.
We do a couple podcast episodes in a sitting, and sometimes you get to the end of it and you're like, what happened?
there was a 12 pack of beer here.
Before. We were gonna watch a hockey game that started through two and a half hours ago. It's gotta
be done. I'm sad about that.
Do you remember what you were gonna say?
I do remember what I was gonna say. Like you say, it's his fault because Frank Dukes even says, like, what are you doing?
Yes.
He's saying what we're all thinking. He's like, what are you doing? Finish him up. Like, he's not done. Why are you celebrating? And then he's just like walking around like, yeah, I did it. I'm the one who knocked him down. I did it.
Finish him, dude. What are you doing?
It's like, fucking do it. Like, fuck Mortal Kombat.
Where's Shang Tsung when you need
better.
Him? Yeah. Where's Shang Tsung? Come on, do it.
There you go.
And what I didn't get to is, like, why did Frank Dukes take all of this so hard, right? He's in the hospital. The doctor flat out says Jackson's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. He knows he's the best fighter in the world. He's clearly in a class above himself. The girl clearly likes him. Mm-hmm. Why does he have to be like, I got to go emo and just go around town and just, like, decide if I'm going to do this or not?
It makes for my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Which one?
The one where he's on the bus.
And Chong Li's going... with his eyeballs.
Dude, fucking eyes.
Scared the fuck out of me.
Fucking lost it. When I saw, I'm like, whoa. It's like Jurassic Park 3 when Alan sees a velociraptor on the plane. And just like, what?
I tried to also take note of, like, what he was wearing. He's just wearing, like, normal people clothes. like he's seen him outside of the Kumite or something like that. Like at his favorite, like, eel restaurant that, like, fucking Forrest Whitaker and Guy McGonaghan are at. And he's just like he's seen him out and about just catching some noodles in Hong Kong. And he's just hanging out. You don't see Chong Li out and about. He lives in his own world.
But this is what we like to do. We like to humanize the goons on the Confused Breakfast podcast. In fact, we have a t-shirt you should probably look and buy. But think about, I like to picture, what is Chong Li's home life? Like, think about him going home. He's got a duffel bag with his stuff in it. He's just wearing a t-shirt and a jeans. And he's just like, hey, honey, I'm home. How was your day, hey, Chong? It's pretty good. I killed a guy.
Oh, you got another one, huh?
Yeah, I did. Everybody was chanting my name. And
that's great, sweetie.
How's the cat? Oh, he was pretty good today. He ate his wet food. Oh, man, I love our cat.
Well, good. Do you lose any more teeth?
Like, Chong Li lives somewhere. Like, where does he live?
It's very true.
What does he do for fun?
We never see him outside the Kumite.
Do you think he likes ice cream?
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah. Like,
I want to think
Rocky
that,
Road, dude.
I want to think that he's a pretty, like, to himself kind of bachelor. Like you say, he's got that duffel bag. He throws it on the couch. And he's just like, oh, here I am back at the old apartment. And it's just like, there's not much going on. He's like, well, I wonder if there's a show or something I can go
maybe
see.
Maybe he's just a big reader.
Yeah.
Like, he throws on Cheers and just has a good time.
Like, he goes and grabs an Amstel Light or something from the fridge. Like, what the hell?
He's an import kind of guy.
Yeah. Can't you see him too at the clubs just doing his fish shake to like
I can never find the right beat.
Exactly. He's out there just Jersey shoring it up like fucking
I don't know how the humanize the goons thing. I don't know if you started this.
I think it's
one of my favorite things to think about in movies like this because you think about like, oh, it's Chong Li, he's the scariest guy in the world. Everybody,
he sleeps.
He takes a shit. Like, think about Chong Li like having diarrhea or something like that. Like, oh my god,
having the flu.
My tummy hurts today.
You know, he sits there reading Kumite.
Kumite Weekly.
Kumite Weekly on the toilet, and like he's just like, you just hear him shuffling through the paper. Just, oh.
Yeah, like Chong Li uses kind of, public bathrooms.
Yeah, he definitely
farts and kind of chuckles a little bit. Yeah.
Thinks his own farts are funny.
Like, I mean, you can go on for days. Like, Chong Li goes to the supermarket and gets a cart with a bad wheel.
Yeah,
exactly. And he's got to be like, God damn it. Should I take it back? Or
turns out he's a vegetarian.
I should have just gotten the basket anyway. I don't need that many things.
Like, yeah, it's a normal day. Things
paper
are happening.
Or plastic, Chong Li. I don't know. You know, who knows?
That's it.
He gets on the scale. Oh, man, I gained 2 pounds yesterday.
Jesus Christ.
You could
muscle.
You could go on for day. And I love that thought process. Fun. I don't know why that's so funny to me to think about a guy like Chong Lee doing that.
Here he is. Here he is. That's cool day.
I do like, I got to bring up though, like when they're at the doctor and the doctor has the stethoscope. But he's doing it in the same spot, the same position on Ray Jackson's chest. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, you guys need to not argue in here and get out of here. I need to listen to this same spot on this man's chest.
I need for to three listen to hours. His clavicle. Okay. Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, let's end this movie here. So Dukes is victorious in his semifinal match. In Chong Lee's semifinal match, he grabs his opponent's head and brutally snaps his neck, killing him to send a message to Dukes. The crowd falls silent and the officials all stand to turn their backs to Chong Lee, bowing their heads in a moment of silence. Does not please Chong Lee. Dukes and Chong Lee step onto the platform for the final bout to determine the Kumite's champion. Dukes appears to be winning when Chong Lee cheats and throws powder into Dukes' eyes, temporarily blinding him. After struggling for a little while, Dukes clears his mind and appears to go into a meditative trance. He then takes control of the match and makes Chong Lee say, Mate. After visiting Jackson in the hospital, Dukes meets Helmer and Rollins at the airport to fly home a hero.
So Helmer and Rollins are military police.
They are military, supposedly.
And I don't know if they don't have jurisdiction here. Obviously, they kind of do if they're trying sort to get of? One of their own. They literally watch a man get murdered.
Yes.
And do nothing.
Nothing.
And they're actually like kind of, they forget about it like everybody
else. Because they're really into the fight. Yeah. Like, this is fun.
Like nothing.
Fucking Forrest Whitaker just wants popcorn and that guy would be fucking happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, he's the young guy, you know.
And they really play that up way too much in this
lot.
Movie.
It's like, he really overrides him a lot. Look, we're just trying to get, well, thank you for your time. Well, I'm going to move on. I'm the older guy and he's the young buck who's trying to get his goat. You know,
like, you could have done that once and we could have called it good for the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, fuck.
Was the mat always a half pipe?
No.
No, they turned it into a half pipe. They went from street to vert. Street to vert.
Obviously, it's the championship. You know, you gotta switch it up.
What?
But what is even the point? Like, does that make it harder or something?
Straight up went from street to vert, you fucking piece of shit.
X Games Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You're like, on a streak right now, dude. Why do you get the jokes, the top joke of every episode? Fuck.
It's AJ's house, dude. God damn it.
Welcome to my house.
I think that's it, though. Like,
we can end the episode. So what'd you guys think of modern day ratings?
No, like they do. They prop that thing up. Like it's like, yeah,
it seems really impractical.
It
completely does.
They're like, oh, let's change the terrain. Let's make it interesting or something like that.
But actually, I take my bet back. Now that we're going vert, I think Chong Lee's going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know we were going vert on this fight.
Yeah.
Oh, vert changes everything.
I mean, we've seen Frank Douche rules the streets, but I don't know about this one now.
Yeah.
So. All of Jean-Claude's faces looks like he's euthanizing a puppy. Like he's sad, but also like, I need to do this, but also very intense. Like, I don't know how else to describe it other than like the scene in I Am Legend when Will Smith is strangling his own dog, but he's got to. Like, he looks like he's sad that he's got to do this. Like, his eyes are like, I don't know, I'm so sorry. But also, he's a ass kicker, you know?
I know this is a stretch, but he literally, the noises that he makes and the faces that he makes reminds me of the baby from Honey, I Blew Up the Baby. Like, at the fucking end of it, he's just like really sad about shit. And you're just like, okay, so Jean-Claude is just a big baby. That's what it basically is.
It's like, I just don't understand why every movie we watch, the longer they start fighting, the more noises they start making.
The best movie to do ADR on would be this movie.
Could you imagine?
By the way, apparently Chong Lee did not learn anything from his fight from Ray Jackson because he's over there celebrating when he should be finishing the fight.
Finish
the fight.
Okay. And even though he ground up a Tums and threw it in his eyes, he thinks he's just got the fucking ace in the hole, and that's wrong.
How does no one see this happen?
Yeah, like he tosses basically a physical fart dust into his eyes. Yeah, and like, that's what he does. Like, he's like, ha, gotcha. And like, dude, you can't, like, nobody saw this.
No one.
There's a ref in the ring. Like,
and there's 200 people in the room watching.
Yeah.
I guess anything goes. I mean, if you can fucking snap someone's neck right in front of everybody.
Hey, there's a code, okay? You can kill someone, but you can't throw a powder in their face.
Sorry. Yeah,
can't throw a powder fart in their face, like AJ specifically said.
Yeah.
Paco, the guy that he fought, I think Paco was my favorite.
Sagat.
Yeah, I think he was my favorite, like, non-Jean-Claude Van Damme fighter.
Right.
But his name was Paulo Tocha. It was a real-life Muay Thai champion.
Yeah.
And he was like, he looked like it. He looked like he knew what he was doing. Oh, kind of a badass.
Yeah.
I liked his little chin strap beard, too. It's pretty cool.
Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't kind of mess around with his martial arts and, like, his professionals. Because even kickboxer, like his brother, it plays, it's like Silvio Alexandri or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's like, from here on out, he started adding everybody that actually knew what they were doing.
Yeah. The guy in kickboxer, his brother in kickboxer, is literally like the most renowned kickboxer in the world.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he was just like, yeah, I want professional fighters in my movies now because of who he had to work with in this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looked real legit. And then they just get in that kicking match.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Kicking match.
Well, I read also that his first fight, I think, with Hussein, the guy that hit on...
On Janice.
The girl, Janice. He actually knocked him out.
Whoa!
Yeah, when like the finishing hit, like he actually knocked him out in real life.
He came out
with like a roundhouse kick or something like that. Knocked him clean out.
Sorry, bro. Don't hit on Janice.
Done. Yeah.
You messed up. I do have to say this because, you know, there's been a lot of movies I've let it slide. And in this one, I'm going to tell you right now, Janice over here is just adding to the confusion and conundrum in Jean-Claude Van Damme's mind. And it's just the girls, this lady just doesn't understand. Why are you doing it? You want to end up like him. You're doing all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing it for me. I started doing this for me, and just because I happened to meet you and we did the sex doesn't mean that I'm going to change my life right now in this moment just because Ray Jackson, who I also just met like 48, 46 hours ago, and we may have also had the sex, and just because these things are happening doesn't mean I'm going to not be Frank Dukes.
Okay. Also, you're a reporter.
Yeah.
And obviously you get the story no matter what.
Right.
And you got the story with the businessman or whatever.
Correct.
You know, like, how can I trust you?
Yeah. Bloody Jono, dude.
She's just jumping in and throwing in her two cents. And this is just a man trying to do his man stuff. And, well, why did you want to be a reporter? I don't know. It felt like a good thing because my dad was a reporter. Well, I'm just trying to be the best I can be.
I'm trying to avenge my fake grandpa's
I've got
son. You know, I don't even know. Didn't I tell you this 15 minutes ago when I just stared at you?
Yeah. I thought you caught this from the flashback. I'm trying to avenge my brother who died, who's not actually my brother, who's also his father is my, but he's not my father. He's
Do you like the Giants?
Kind of like my father.
Which Giants? Because I like them both.
Yeah. All the Giants. Coast to coast, baby.
Humanize the goons, baby. And also, I mean, if we're talking about Janice, like, what the fuck was this ending? Like, he goes to the airport, he gets on the plane, but then she's like, hey, I'm here. And then he's like, okay, so you get on the plane. She's like, probably not. I don't know. I'm probably just going to stand over here.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch you get like court-martialed and shit. Like, I'm not into that.
Like, what the fuck was that ending?
Yeah.
Did you like, was it in freeze frame? Did you like it was the freeze frame?
No, I did not like freeze frame. Only for good freeze frame was Karate Kid, and we established another good freeze frame.
Uncle
too,
Buck.
Uncle Buck, yes.
Yeah, the perfect
The only
one.
Time they're going to work.
The fact that she did like the palm.
When did they teach?
Yeah.
When did they teach each other that?
Why did she do that? Like this.
She didn't earn that shit.
Yeah, she didn't earn that, bro. She's putting it where she doesn't belong, you know? She didn't earn it.
Damn,
I think maybe he fisted her. And that's why she was doing that. She was just like very fond of that move that he did.
She's talking about when they
Yeah.
did the
Yeah.
did the sex. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would totally do the sad trombone, but we've determined I can't do that during a real episode. Okay, guys.
Not during a real episode. You want the sad trombone, you got to go to Patreon.
You got to go to the Patreon, baby. Well, what do you say, boys? You got anything else?
No.
All right. We are going to end this. Here's what we do. We gave you our original ratings when we first saw it. Now we're going to give you our modern day critical eye ratings. So AJ, I'm starting with you, buddy. You gave it an 8.4, dude. That's what you gave this.
I gave this an 8.4
yeah.
as a kid.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
what do you give it now?
So I'm going to tell you that although like the impossible parts to watch in this movie are literally just that, they're impossible to watch. Like it's so hard to watch some of the acting, to watch some of these like flashbacks, these awkward moments, like the editing is just not quite there. You're just like, I don't know why I'm still involved in this. You get to those points that are classic Van Damme. And it's kind of the beginning of his movies and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I do still hold a respect for that. And I every time I see those moments that I get drawn in by, like that I remember as a kid, I really do enjoy it. So if I'm gonna go in on this, some of it's just unforgivable, but there's a mild redeeming factor. I'm going to give it a 4.4.
Wow.
That's a mistake. What about you, Sean? You gave it a 6.5 as a young child.
6.5.
As a young child.
Yeah, man.
What's your modern day rating and thoughts?
I think this movie is so much fun, and it's on the level of like so bad that it's good, but it's not even like really that bad to me. I think the fight scenes are really competent,
yeah.
And all of the cheese factor just really adds to it. It's legitimately just like the way that I think people like Three Ninjas. I think this movie is for me too, where I'm just like, I don't care. It's a 8.5 for me.
Damn, son. I just thought,
Jesus
Christ. I didn't realize.
Fun, man. Holy shit.
I gave it a 5, and I do think I like it a little bit better, especially now that I'm looking at it from Chong Lee's like human perspective. I think that's a very fun thing to do, the humanize the goon thing. But I also, the reason I won't give it as good of a rating as Sean is because like, I never know what Jean-Claude made like 8 of these movies. Mm-hmm. They're all the same story.
Yes.
And it's just like, I just don't even know which one I like
this one's
best.
Mine, though.
This is yours. I think mine's maybe Lionheart.
Okay.
You remember that one?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that
oh,
was
yeah.
even, that's probably even worse of a movie.
I started watching that after this
yes.
movie because I was like, dude, I remember fucking Lionheart real. That, yeah, totally.
And in Kickboxer and all that stuff. So yeah. because I don't feel like it's a unique movie. I went up a little bit from a 5. I'm a 6. You know, yeah. I'll watch it. If Definitely. You have a party projection screen in the
yeah,
backyard, I'll watch Bloodsport.
Yeah.
This is like I will. I gave it a 4.4. This is a buddy movie.
Yeah,
we've had friends over and watched this movie while we just took down beers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll put it on for sure. Don't
you can
get me
talk
wrong.
During this movie.
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
a big deal.
Yeah, and like we'll get into those fucking moments, but like that are just like, yeah, that's great, Chong Lee. And but that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's never boring whatsoever, which is like so like the sin of like a movie that's as cheesy as this, the sin of what it could do is be boring, and it never was to me. And I'm just like,
totally.
Damn. Fuck yeah, dude.
That's fair.
Well, we're so happy to have you. We hope you're enjoying all the episodes. This, when it was recorded middle of June 2021, Bloodsport is free on Cinemax with a subscription. Otherwise, you got to purchase it somewhere. And continuing with the weekly content, tune in next Wednesday. We continue with the weekly movie reviews. This time we tackle perhaps summer movie of all summer movies, The Sandlot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to rip it apart.
We're going to rip that dumb movie
it's
apart.
Fucking, it's fucking man. Structure is not
yeah.
even any structure whatsoever. It's so dumb.
Start
like
to
it.
Finish.
Yeah. So yeah. Shit. AJ, where can everybody find us on the way out here, bud?
Guys, you can find us anywhere on the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Stitcher, all and everywhere in between. Make sure you are following along on social media, facebook.com/confusedbreakfast. Instagram is @confusedbreakfast. Twitter, confusedbfast. And of course, TikTok. Make sure you're following us on TikTok @confusedbreakfast. And make sure you guys get us on Patreon.
Get us that Patreon, bro.
Make sure you get us on Patreon. We've got all the cool things. And if you were a part of it, if you would have been a part of it already, you would have had first dibs on merch at a discount.
Yep. But now it's all public and you're just going to have to buy it like everybody
else. That's it. You're a normie, but don't be a normie in the beginning.
And speaking of humanize the goons, we got a hell of a shirt.
Fucking A.
Fucking A, dude. Also give us a voicemail. 319-804-9596. Yeah. Hey. Sean Pryor, where can everybody find you, bro?
Sean Pryor 237 on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah. AJ?
AJ Vens, AJAYVENS, anywhere on social media.
You can also go to confusedbreakfast.com. There's a little click there, a little link that'll show you some of our favorite stuff, our bands, our Instagrams, all that fun stuff.
Oh,
but cool. I do have a website I'd like to tell you about called frankdukesisafuckingliar.com.
Yeah.
So I'm passionate about it, okay?
Where do all your links lead? Not 404.
No. My links I keep up on my social media.
Okay? 404 page error not found.
So we'll check you guys next time. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye.
Kumite.
Kumite. Kumite. Kumite.
Kumite.
Kumite. Kumite.